The world today is full of dating advice from the internet, from your friends, celebrities, it's in the movies. Everyone has their own take. Everyone has their own ideas about what you should do. And it's challenging sometimes to differentiate the good, sound counsel from total rubbish. So that's why today on YouthCast, we got three couples who are successfully married. They're working it out, you know, they're making it, and they're going to share some of their scripture-based wisdom about the whole process, what they learned, what they're continuing to learn, to see if we can't gain some wisdom from them. It's going to be fun. Let's start out with a few introductions for our three couples.
Well, I'm Brother Pete Jannetty. Go ahead.
Sister Wendy Jannetty. I met Pete in high school. I was not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ or a member of any faith at that time. And so we met in high school. Our first date was a girl ask boy event, our Christmas dance. And I wanted to ask him, and he accepted. Many journeys along the way, which we may talk about, but we got married after 2 years of dating and baptized 2 years later because he was also not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ.
So I'm Sister Kathy. And
I'm Brother Emil.
We've been married for 23 years, and we actually have known each other for our whole lives. Our families would do Thanksgivings and like things together a lot of times, even though we lived a few hours apart. And
let me tell you. So she was a young little girl, because I'm like 3 years older than you, right? Three years older than her. So she was just a little dorky kid with big Coke bottle glasses, and I was the biggest nerd you'd ever meet. And so she wouldn't have any interest in me, and I didn't have any interest in her. And then it was actually when I went to the military, her family had went out back east. I was stationed out there, and she went from being that dorky girl to just smoking hot. And so, sorry, Jared. And so, so I had eyes for her, but then she still didn't have nothing to do with me, for quite a while. But over time, our branches would do things together. She was from the Sabinito branch, and I was from the Pine Top Lakeside branch, and our branches would do different work projects together. We'd go to San Carlos, and then, over time, I guess maybe she ran out of other options, and so she settled for me. And so, yeah, and then we married 23 years since then.
Hello, I'm Sister Anna.
And Brother Josh. We're from the Treasure Coast branch in Florida, and we met at a GMBA campout. I was head deacon, and I was talking to her sister one night and praying with her, and Anna thought I was hitting on her. And so big sister mode kicked in, and I'm talking to another brother in the men's dorm, and here comes this fiery short girl into the building, and she points right in my face and says, "Where's my sister?" like that. And then funny story is she turns around, and like the door is about
the door's locked, and so I like literally face plant in the door because it's locked. In front of him. And so he called my name, and I don't know why I turned around, but I did. And I went up to him, and I was like, "I know what you're up to. I know guys like you, you know, all these guys at camp trying to hit on girls. It's not going to happen to my sister." And he goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me tell you about my testimony." And I'm like, "Okay, here we go." And so we spent the whole night talking. And ever since then, we knew we had a connection. And we decided to just
keep talking
and see each other. And from there, that's where our story began. So it began at a GMBA campout.
Hey, how long have you guys been married, Josh and Anna?
Almost 5 years.
Okay.
Thank you guys each for sharing that. So we probably agree the purpose of dating is to find a person to marry, to spend your life with. And so if we're trying to approach this topic, we got to understand what is God's model and his purpose for marriage. So do any of you guys have any ideas based on scripture of why did God institute this type of lifelong committed relationship between two people?
Seems like the reason why he instituted marriage is because that's the way he wanted it. He didn't want, you know, men being with many wives. He didn't want women being with many men. He didn't want all the heartbreak and the heartache and the suffering that comes along with that kind of behavior. So he set it up to where we would have a lifelong committed relationship, just like we do with the church. It's like when you get baptized, you say, well, I'm committed forever. I'm going to follow Jesus all the days of my life. I'm going to repent of my sins and I'm going to go forward. I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. And when you're standing at the altar, you do the same thing. You're saying, I'm committed to this lady all the days of my life.
Yeah, I think from the very beginning, God's seen, scripture says that man needed a helpmate. And so how beautiful from the very beginning, God created woman to be that helpmate for man, for life, committed to each other, and that they would no more be two people, but they would be one. And that is exactly the pattern of our relationship with Jesus. And so everything first points to Jesus. He's everything. And our companionship, our life in this world, all points to the relationship we should have with Jesus, our Savior.
One of the things that stood out from each of your answers is that who you're going to marry is going to affect the rest of your life in basically every aspect of your life. So it's something to take very seriously. And so with that in mind, how would a person know if they're ready to start dating? Let's say you're maybe younger, maybe in your teens or something. How do you know when you're ready to start looking for someone to marry?
For me, I don't look at it as something that you should be, oh, play in the field or trying to get to know as many people as possible. I'm a big fan of when you're ready to get married, that's a good time to get start dating, or that's the time to start getting to know the other people. Because when you're ready to get married, then you're at a spot in your life when you're ready to take that seriously. Because people take dating way too not seriously, and we end up with a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble from it. They just flippantly date, and if you go into dating with the idea or with a purpose to say, well, I'm looking for someone that I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving the Lord with, then you go from there and you're looking at the person in a different light. You're not just saying, oh, that person is attractive. Oh, that person is wealthy. Oh, that person is, you know, whatever the thing that you want. They have a really nice car, you know, whatever it is. It's that's superficial stuff. Doesn't mean anything in the big picture. And when you're ready to marry someone, you're starting to look at the big picture. I'm going to be with this person forever. And if I'm going to be with this person for, what do we say in our wedding vows, till death do us part, you want to go into that seriously. You want to take that seriously.
Well, I don't think that I really had in mind like marriage when I, you know, started to date. I mean, I asked him to this Christmas dance, and did you want to go?
No.
No, he did not want to go with me. He wanted to go with another girl, okay? He did accept, even though he didn't want to. Well, after we did start dating after the Christmas dance, it went very well. We liked each other, and so we just started to date and to talk. And early on, I told him, I said, I'm never getting married. I said, I've seen only failed marriages in my experience in my life. My parents, I was six when they divorced. Aunts and uncles' marriages all fell apart. I never saw a marriage that was happy and worked. And my mom remarried. That second marriage was not a good one. He was a good provider, but not a nice fellow. So I really didn't go into our relationship actually thinking this was the man I was going to marry. Now, mind you, I wasn't a Christian at the time when all this was, you know, when we were dating. So that plays into a lot of that as well.
So if I could ask you a follow-up question there, you talked about how in your upbringing, you weren't a Christian and you hadn't seen examples of strong, healthy marriages. I mean, now that you've seen healthy marriages and been married for this long, do you have a different approach now that you're older or have different perspective on that you would advise to someone else?
Oh, totally different perspective because, you know, as being a Christian, you know, I would fast and I would pray and, you know, ask the Lord to direct me to someone to spend the rest of my life with. I think that's first and foremost.
What stood out to me from your guys' answers is how important it is to be intentionally seeking the Lord in prayer about this.
Amen. Because,
not just leave it to chance and just see what happens, but really fasting and praying and seeking his direction. So as we're going forward, you're praying for the Lord's direction, and maybe you're meeting people, interacting with different people. I want to talk a little bit about some of the qualities or characteristics you should be looking for in another person to evaluate if this would be a person who would be good to commit your life to spending with. So do you guys have any thoughts off the bat or what are some of the most important characteristics to be looking for in another person?
It's nice if you're attracted to them physically, but you know, it's more important to look at the heart of a person than their physical attraction. And you could rehearse, you know, Proverbs 31 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman or man that feareth the Lord, he or she shall be praised. So, you know, I would go, it's with the heart. It's all about the heart of another person and prayer and fasting and just even reading God's word, just as a Christian, you know, just developing that relationship closer with the Lord that will draw you near to a mate.
I know for me, for number one is someone that would serve the Lord with me. You know, you hear people that have a hard time where like they either just have to go to church by themselves because their spouse doesn't go to church or just different things like that. I wanted someone that was going to work with me in the church, not just someone who believes in God, but that is on the same page with me, that we can talk about our hopes and dreams about what we're going to do for the church.
If I could comment on this, character is a big deal for me. I grew up in sports. I grew up doing a lot of things that was always emphasized on how you carry yourself. And, you know, I had grandparents who were like 50 plus years married. I mean, just they're both sets of my grandparents are still alive and married. And so I always saw that. But then I saw my parents and the divorce and all of those things that happened. And so for me, character was huge. I used to pray that, you know, and when I met Anna, man, that's high character. Her family, her dad, the first time I ever spoke to Anna's dad, now he's a minister in the Church of Jesus Christ, and I was nervous. I was sweating to meet him. And I can remember the only thing I ever heard from him was, let that boy go to sleep, because at night, I would be 3 hours ahead, and it would be like 3 a.m. I would be talking to her after camp out. And I got, we were sitting there at the table. I felt a tap on my shoulder. He said, I want to show you my Suzuki, which is this car he's been working on since I've known him and way before that. So we go out in the garage. He takes me both hands. He looks at me. He says, we're brothers in Christ first. If we can build our life on that, no matter what happens with my daughter and you, we're going to have a blessed relationship. And then he prayed for me. Oh. And that changed my entire life. And I realized, and that's when I started not only to fall in love with Anna, but I started to fall in love with her family, with what a strong example is. And that's character to me.
Amen.
How do you think you can get to know a person's true character? Because you can do fun things and have a good time together and not necessarily know who someone is on a deeper level.
How in the world are you going to know what to look for if you don't have a godly list of things and characteristics that are godly that you've identified? I've seen godly characteristics in my mother and father. I've seen great love. I've seen forgiveness. I seen them saying they were sorry. I seen a love with my grandparents that was amazing. And so I began to identify at a young age what those characteristics were, and that was my checklist. Just like we sing as little kids, Santa Claus is checking the list and checking it twice and making sure you're naughty or nice, right? Well, I would make sure. And you know, for that very reason, I just want to say this. I was very careful. I don't think there's anything wrong as you prepare to start to have The desire to have a female attraction as a young teenager. There's nothing wrong with starting to have friendships, and because you have to, you just can't just do that and think, well, the first person I date, I'll marry, because it just doesn't work that way. But what I had was in my mind, I knew what I was looking for. And so what Wendy didn't say was, even though I didn't want to go with her, because momentarily I set that checklist aside, I had my eye on somebody that was very flashy and awesome and outgoing in my high school. And I was just going to go for a good time. I wasn't going to get married. But you know, that night when we had that first date, and for me, it was amazing. I'll just tell you.
Me too.
Some of the things that were on that checklist were like shining out at me in one date. And if you've ever seen that little beautiful Disney cartoon animated film called Bambi, when Thumper gets twitterpated and his little leg starts to go, that's what I was the first night of that dance, twitterpated. And that was it. I had no one else in my mind at that point. God had started to work that much. He knew that she had those characteristics. And in the next year, it began to be clear and clear to me. And I began to fall in love with the woman that she was, the person that she was. Because even though she didn't know God, I remember one time asking her as we were dating, maybe a couple months, do you ever pray? She says, I don't know. I say the Apostles' Creed, but I've never prayed. I don't know how to pray. That didn't scare me. And I think I'm the only one, we're the only couple on this call that Wendy didn't know the church. She wasn't B&R in the church. She didn't even know God. She just was blessed with the Spirit of God. I want to tell you that the light of Christ was upon her. And those characteristics started to just shout at me. And so I think that you have to have, I'm sure Josh would agree, as he looked at Anna, there was something that you identified that was godly. The most important part is whether you have read it in God's word, those godly characteristics. And I hope you have. Or, even more important, you've seen those godly characteristics in God's people. That's the most important point, that you identify that in your life and you say, that's what I want for my mate. And that is moving with purpose there, let me tell you.
I believe that we strongly attract what we want to embody or what we embody. So for example, you know, if I have a certain list of what I want in a spouse or in a date or in a person that I'm interested in, I need to like look at that list and make sure that everything that on those lists I'm embodying before I go seek out that person. So if I'm seeking somebody out who is honest, who is kind, who is compassionate, or in a bunch of other things, I need to make sure that I myself are those things. And so I think it's really important that if we are seeing something and seeing this shining light of another person, like, you know, like with Sister Wendy, then I need to make sure that I live up to that as well.
I know that for Kathy and I, when we started doing like the various work projects with the church, I kind of think that's when I started becoming more attractive to her, was around things. In fact, I'm pretty certain that it was a young lady had said something about me at a vacation Bible school we were helping with in San Carlos that got Kathy on the ball to say, oh, maybe he is all right. Because I guess, who was it? I shouldn't say a name, but some sister from back east was helping. And was she from back east? And she said, oh, I can see why you like him. And Kathy really wasn't all that hot and bothered with me at that point. You know, she was more kind of, she could take me or leave me.
I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was spending a lot of time around him. But we were the ones dating. It was turning me toward him in terms of like, I saw him working hard for the Lord. And I was like, this is what I've been praying for, to find someone that would work beside me and who loves the Lord. And other people are seeing it. What's wrong with me? Why am I not seeing it? And it kind of shifted my eyes more towards him. And, from that moment when that girl said that, I was like, what am I doing? This is like an amazing catch. And
see, I'm forever indebted into that gal.
And that's really when I started really finding him more attractive and putting all my efforts toward him.
Well, and that's kind of the way I did too, is I felt like when through the brothers in the church telling me stuff like physical attractiveness isn't the most important thing, but somebody that's going to serve the Lord and work for the Lord and be a part of the church all the days of their life. That was like Brother Pete had his checklist. I didn't really have a checklist, but I knew that that's what I wanted. I wanted someone that was going to serve the Lord. And here, when you're going to, you know, the vacation Bible school in San Carlos was the one that we always helped out with, or the various work parties in our region. We would try to go to all those. And it's funny because that really, I mean, she was physically attracted to me, but she became somebody that actually fit into my little list of people that I should consider, was the fact that she was willing to work for the Lord and willing to go to all that stuff.
I feel like that reinforces what Anna was saying earlier, that if you're seeking for a person who's going to serve the Lord with you, then you should be busy serving the Lord to attract someone who's going to be looking to do that sort of thing. So that's cool.
But Brother Jared, I will say, you know, our scenario was different because we weren't both Christians, but Pete wanted a girl that would eventually join the church with him. And you have to invite the person you're dating to go to church with you. That's very important, especially if you are a Christian and the person that you're connecting with is not. You want to, you know, first and foremost, talk about your relationship with God early on in the relationship and invite them to church. And if, you know, you invite them over and over and over again and they want nothing to do with that, that's one of those maybe red flags, and that's not on your checklist, right? So, you know, he invited me to church, and when I came, I felt the love of God so strongly in the Aliquippa branch of the church. And that is where I met the Lord and fell in love with God, and my relationship began. And that relationship with the Lord helped our relationship together to grow stronger and love with the Lord.
But I do want to say, it is important. I thought you were pretty hot. I have to say, I did. I caught myself many times. Wendy and I were in home economics class together. I had to take an elective to get graduated, and I sat at her table. I caught myself many times looking at her. Okay, now, is that the most important? No, it's important though, okay? But then, as I got to know her, I started to see the inside, who that person was in here. And that person was beautiful, just like the outside, right? But I thought I'd just throw that in there. It didn't hurt.
There are a lot of characteristics that we can have in our mind of the things that we're looking for. But what I'm hearing from you guys is making sure that the ones that are of God, the ones that are about a person's character, their values, the direction they're trying to head in their life, those ones are ones you don't want to compromise on. Other ones, like has been mentioned, how attractive someone is, or maybe their sense of humor, or certain things maybe we have in our mind that aren't necessarily a spiritual matter, we should maybe be open to what God might direct for us, even if it's a little different than what we have in mind, because sometimes he knows what's better for us, and we shouldn't just close off someone just because they're not exactly what we had imagined. At a certain point, a relationship is going to develop in a more physical matter, and through the scriptures, we learn that God has a plan of men and women waiting to be physically intimate until marriage. And so the question I guess I would propose to you guys is that idea outdated? And if not, why do you think God would give this instruction to us through his word?
Even way back in the 1970s, when we were dating and were ready to get married, it was an outdated concept. Today, in today's world, you know why it's outdated? Because the world has it all backwards when they look for a mate. Everything's got to be together. I've got to get a career first. I have to get an education. I got to get a career first. I have to have all my ducks in a row before I even think about looking for a mate. And all, by the way, while you're doing all that, the days and the months and the years roll on, and your biological self can't control itself, okay? And so I used to teach what one thing we and her did, we fell in love. And we didn't care about, you know, when I got married, I had $300 in the bank. That's what we had. It was a kiss for luck, and we were on our way. And so we just couldn't wait any longer. And that's what I encourage young people. Don't worry about having your whole life together, okay? Have a few things, okay? Don't be irresponsible. But to wait till you think you have it all together, and in the meantime, you're disobeying God's commandments because you want it all, and you want to please your body, at the end of the day, you're not pleasing God.
I believe as a young person myself, I used to believe that it was outdated. But when I met Josh, I didn't realize, or then I realized how wrong I was and how beautiful it is when you do wait until marriage and you get to know the person after you're married, because there's nothing in your head saying, this is wrong, this is bad, you can't be doing this. Because when you are not married and you're doing those things, in the back of your mind, that's all you're thinking. And when you get married and all of those thoughts are put to the side, it's one of the most beautiful things you can ever experience. And you know in that moment that you are doing right by God in that moment, and you're not thinking about other things or the consequences afterwards, because the consequences is just, there is no consequences afterwards because you did it the right way. And so, yes, we were tempted multiple times and we didn't give in to those temptations. And I'm so thankful for it, because we never had to worry about if we were doing the wrong thing. And when we finally were married, it felt like the right thing.
You know, Sister Michelle, at one point I think it was in the blog, she said something to the effect of, like, young men treat the young women with respect because you never know that one day you may be the minister handing her sacrament. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was pretty powerful, you know. I know in our case, I grew up with my mom. My dad never really had anything to say about church or things like that. But my mom, she was kind of tactless or blunt, I guess you could say. And she would say, look, you don't mess around until you get married. You know, that was her way of saying it. And it's funny because as a teenager, you just kind of take or leave that advice especially when it's handed to you that way. But thankfully, as time went on, I heard brothers of the church saying things like, no, you don't have sexual relationships until you're married, and that's God's plan. And so for me, I waited until I was married, and I just did it because I was told to, and because it was supposedly the right thing to do, is what they'd say. But after the fact, once I'm married, like we said, we're married 23 years now. And it's funny because looking back, I can say, out of all the heartache that people, when they mess up and they do things that aren't God's way, and you see the suffering that they go through, you see the pain that they go through, you see all this, I mean, there's so many different troubles, so many different problems that you get into, the emotional stuff, the relationship stuff within a branch or across a region or even throughout the church or with folks outside of the church, one way or the other, it still has a lot of effect. And, you know, after these 23 years, I can look back and say, oh, that's why they told me to do that, because God's way is the best way. And when we do things God's way and we follow His word, whether we understand it or not at the time, or whether we grasp the enormity of it, you know, over the years, I no offense to you other married couples there, but I have the greatest marriage in the whole world, I believe, because we tried to do things God's ways. And looking back, I could say, yeah, I guess they were right. They were right that we should do things God's ways. And so we did, and it worked out. You know, I praise God for it.
You wish every young person could see that if they choose to make that stance in their life, how much more the Lord blesses you for that action of putting God first and waiting. Because it's truly set up by God and it is supposed to be beautiful. And it is if they can just stay strong in that decision.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be able to tell your wife, you know, you were worth waiting for. You were worth that waiting and holding off my own desires for you, you know, and it's nice to have that reciprocated.
You know, I want to share a testimony about this. When I was in, again, young Josh, fifth or sixth grade, I was in the locker room, sixth grade, all my friends were around me. And this topic came up, actually. And I remember looking at my friends, and there was a group of four or five of us, that we made this pact with each other that we were going to wait till marriage. And we shook hands. And I remember as time went on, one friend would drop off, another friend. And before I knew it, by the end of high school, I was alone, and I felt alone. It was not a common thing. It wasn't normal. I didn't feel a part of the group. I was on the football team. I was a captain of the football team. It was right in front. I mean, it was right there. And the only other person that I made that pact with was my brother. And I remember, you know, my brother Justin and I, we would just always talk. And, you know, God gave me my brother to stick it out with me. And I'll tell you, once I did get married, it's like you won a championship. You know, it's like you finally accomplished this long task that you had put yourself through. So I agree with Brother Emil. It was, you know, to be able to say to your spouse, you know, you were worth the wait. It was a blessing for me.
A lot of people might ask, you know, okay, I'm trying to honor God, so, you know, I'm not going to cross that line. So then they might, the natural next question is, where is the line? How far can you go physically? And what would you say to that young person or even adult who's trying to figure out, okay, I don't want to cross that line, but how far can I go with someone?
Well, I think with the person that's asking that question, my response would be, well, you're asking the wrong question, because when you already have it in your mind, how far can I go? You know, my answer would be, well, go to the altar and get married. And then you can go all the way. You know, I know that sounds maybe archaic or something, but when you're already, your mindset is how far can I go? You're already pushing into troubled waters. You know, you're looking. I mean, that's the way it is with all of our life. How much sin can I commit before I lose my salvation? How much, you know, how far can I cheat a little bit on my taxes? Can I lie a little bit to this or that? You know what I mean? You think about it, it's like, those are all bad paths, and seeing how far you can go with someone is a bad path. It never leads to the right place. Maybe we should be asking the question of how pure can I be? How pure can I be until the altar? How, you know, I mean, that's, we try to shoot for perfection. We, even though we, sometimes we're human, sometimes we realize people mess up. How do you start over? When you've already messed up, it's like, well, you got to start from here and now. And Jesus told that lady, now go and sin no more. He wasn't saying, well, go and try to, you know, try to tone it down a little bit. Try not to go quite so far. You know, he didn't say that. He said, just go and sin no more. Start over today. Repent of what you did and start over and shoot for perfection.
Well, I think too that, you know, when you're a Christian and you accept Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and your body's the temple of God. You know, you house His Spirit. And so, you know, you just, like when you're dating and you know, if someone wants to push you further, you know, you have that person. If that person's not respecting your wishes, then there's, you know, there could be an issue there, right? Even in, you know, maybe a yellow flag or red flag, whatever. But, you know, we want to respect our bodies because that's what the Lord wants from us, to keep it holy and pure before Him.
I had some coworkers one time, and I was saying how, you know, I wouldn't live with someone before I got married. And they thought it was so funny. They literally called over some other people, and they're like, Jared said the most ridiculous thing, that he would not live with someone before you get married. Isn't that silly? How are you going to know if you guys get along if you don't live together first? So what do you guys have? What's your response to that idea that, you know, it's a better idea to just live with someone to get used to and figure out if it's going to work out before you get married?
I have a very simple answer to this. If I was basing my marriage off of, or even a relationship off of, whether Anna and I were compatible to live with each other, we would not be sitting together. We are compatible because of what God did when we met one another and the spirit we felt. all of that other stuff, you can hash it out and figure it out as time goes on, and you make sacrifices. You figure out a very simple one. I like it cold in the house. She likes it hot. So let's meet in the middle. Right? So we had to figure that out, you know, and I would sneak around the corner and tap it down a couple of notches, and she would know. It was like she knew the temperature. And that's kind of, you know, if you're basing your whole relationship off of that, then it's not going to work. So that's why when we go back to how this all, the qualifications, if it's based on the spiritual, then you can make those sacrifices and figure out how it all works over time. It's going to be a little difficult at times, but it works out in the end because you go back to those foundational things that you felt when you first met one another and God brought you together.
I love this idea that if you're right spiritually, then the natural things, you'll be able to figure it out because you have that strong foundation.
And I feel like that thought process is already, it's like a fallback. It's already having a negative, well, if it doesn't work out, I have an easy way out, you know? And it's that's no way to be in a relationship where, oh, I just need to make sure that for a little bit in case it doesn't work out. Well, a marriage, it's always supposed to work out. You're supposed to work together to make it work. And that's how a marriage works. And so if you're not ready to, you know, have those deep conversations already before you're going to move in with someone, then you're not supposed to be moving in with them. Because if I know that I'm going to be with this person, like, I know for a fact that we are going to make it work, you know, which is, so what, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't make any sense as to why I have to move in first to make sure it works. Because it's already saying, there's a little part of me saying it's not going to work.
Okay, so if we do decide we want to have a relationship that honors God, where we're doing it right by Him, how do we actually go about keeping God at the center of our relationship?
I kind of feel like it's the same as everything else in your spiritual life. You have to wake up daily, you know, in prayer. You remember what Brother Pete called the prayer slide. Slide on out of bed onto your knees, and you ask God, you know, to be in your life, and that includes dating. I mean, isn't it a beautiful prayer to pray, hey, Lord, if this person is not the right one for me, please close that door. And if I'm not the right person for them, please close this door so we're not hurting feelings and breaking hearts and doing, you know, things that are negative here in God's kingdom. But instead, if this is the person I'm supposed to be with, open that door. You know, we sing a song in the song Zion. It says, look up and see your Savior's face. And when I used to go to, I went to ASU, an undergraduate, and when you're going down in Mesa or Phoenix, what is that, Tempe there, and it's hot during the school semesters, and all the girls are dressing with no clothes on hardly, and your eyes, if you're walking down the sidewalks there at ASU, and there's all these girls, and they're just everywhere. You know, I would sing that song to myself, and I would look up just above everybody, and I would look at the palm trees. They call that palm walk, where there's palm trees lying in the thing. And I knew that it was a trouble for me. I would be distracted by all those girls. And so I'd start singing in my mind. I wasn't singing it out loud. Look up and see your Savior's face. His hands held out. Amazing grace. You know, and I'd do that because once you bring the Lord into it, you can't look at those hotties anymore. You know, once God's there, I don't want him knowing that I'm looking at those girls. So I'm going to keep my eyes up. And of course, you know, you get distracted again, but you just have to keep fixing your eyes on the Lord. Just like Peter, when he got out of that boat, you know, he took his eyes off the Lord for a second, and that's where he messed up. It's like, you just got to keep training your eyes on the Lord. And then when you start messing up again, you train your eyes back on the Lord. You got to keep him in the focus, keep him in the center. And of course, that young lady, she wants, you know, it's not that she wants to take the center stage, but you want her to take the center stage in your mind and your thoughts and stuff. But you got to keep pushing her to the side and keep putting Christ first. It's a constant battle, isn't it? It's a never ending battle. Same with the rest of our lives.
A lot of times we would, and we've already mentioned this before, doing activities together with a lot of young people. It was a way for us to get together because we did a long distance relationship. So we would plan activities where we would get a lot of young people together, but also do a work party. And it was also just a really good focus on our putting God at the forefront of our relationship, but also getting to know each other. So that was something I was going to mention as to kind of focus your relationship more toward Christ.
I think you have to be honest if God is in the center of your relationship when you're in that relationship, because, you know, Josh and I had a situation. We were engaged and
I was going to bring up the same thing.
Really? Mm-hmm. We were engaged and I looked at Josh one day. I just knew that he was a man of God, and I need to be honest with myself and where God fit in that matter. Because I knew one day that he was going to be made into a minister. I just knew he was going to be. And I always told myself I would never, you know, date anyone from church, or I would never, you know, date a deacon, a teacher, marry a minister. I don't know why I said that to myself. And so I actually broke off the engagement because I wasn't sure if I wanted to put God in the center of our relationship at the level that I knew Josh wanted to put God in the center of his relationship. And we took a couple of months, and I realized in those months, and also wanted to make sure that I was in it because of me, not because of who I was about to marry and how spiritual he was, but I needed to make sure that I was also spiritually at the level that he wanted to be in our marriage. And so we took those couple of months, and I thank God every single day that we took that time, because I realized that I wanted that. I wanted God at the level that Josh wanted God in his life. I wanted to reach those and more. I wanted to be an asset to him. I wanted to be to encourage him. I wanted to be there when God blessed him every single time, because that means that I was a part of that blessing and I wanted to be a part of that. I wanted to grab it. And so I'm just so thankful that we took that time to really figure out if God was the center of our relationship. And I feel like sometimes we're scared to ask that question, because it might end a relationship. But in matter of fact, it just brings you closer to God.
You know, Pete and I were engaged to be married, and I had been coming to church and learning about God for over a year, I would say. But this one Sunday, Pete got up and in testimony, and remind you, we're not baptized members of the church yet, but he got up and he wanted to thank God for the blessings and the ability to, you know, to buy a home and to that God would bless us.
I said, and I hope someday that I join the church and come to Christ and be baptized. That's my desire.
And so we left that meeting and we get in the car, and we were invited over a brother's and sister's home for dinner, for lunch after church. And we get in the car, and I looked to him and I said, I can't marry you. I'm sorry. I can't marry you. I can't do this. I can't do this church thing. I felt in my heart he was drawing closer to God and I wasn't having the same feelings he was, but yet I wanted it. I was learning about God and the relationship he wanted with me, but there was a lot I still didn't understand. And I didn't understand that it was really the Spirit of God working on him, you know, but it kind of scared me. It really scared me. And so he had to drive around the neighborhood and calm me down because I was crying. And he's like, I can't believe what I'm hearing here. She doesn't want to marry me.
The invitations were already sent out to people, just so you know that.
And so we went over this brother and sister's home, and he had gone into the restroom, and this brother said to me, so, Wendy, what'd you think of today's meeting? Well, I just bust out crying, and I'm like, I don't know. I just don't understand. And so he comes out of the bathroom and says,
I said to the brother, what did you do? Because I had just calmed her down. And, of course, he stirred her all back up again.
And he spoke to me like a spiritual father.
Oh, praise God.
And he explained so much about God's plan for my life and for us together. And I wanted that God center in, you know, in our marriage. I didn't have it all the time as we were dating because I didn't know. I didn't understand. And so just thinking about if you're a Christian, you're dating someone that's not from the church, you know, these are just some of the things that you can go through that you really seriously need to talk about with that person if they don't understand about God and, you know, his blessings in our life and what, you know, that's all about, what the plan is that God has for us.
One of the things that I did is, and Wendy and I both did this, is that we approached our ministry. And so when we had questions, we felt comfortable and we felt open enough to ask them questions. The minister that married us, he was an evangelist in our branch, and he was in his 70s, but he was such a wonderful father figure, and he actually married my parents, and so I remember one night we were in a church basement having a fellowship time, and I so much wanted to get married. And, but I didn't know if I was old enough. I didn't know if I was ready. I didn't know if, you know, and so Wendy and I sat there and we just asked him and his wife, we spent the whole evening asking questions. He was so wonderful, and gave us such great counsel that we ended up asking him to marry us then, since he married our parents. But I would also just say that is that seek out wonderful saints that you look to that are great examples, godly examples, and involve them in your life. Involve them. Ask them questions. And that also puts God at the center, because these are wonderful spiritual witnesses and examples to us.
Thank you, all three of you couples, for sharing a lot of the things you've learned about allowing God to write that story in your life and seeking his direction for who you should be with and how you can find a person to serve God with for the rest of your life. We got a lot more we're going to talk about on this topic. We're going to do a part two of this. We're going to play a game that I think should be fun called Red Flag, Green Flag. And so make sure you subscribe and like the video and tune in next time. Thank you all.